Hi, I'm glad you've joined me again. I have a question for you. Have you ever said no to someone? I know, kind of a dumb question, right? Well, here's another one. Have you ever said no to someone in authority over you, like a parent or a boss? How did that end up for you? It probably didn't end up well, right? Seems like whenever that happens, the result is, shall we say, painful. Well, today we're looking at a story from the Old Testament about Pharaoh and Moses. And when I was looking at one of my children's books this week, this is what they said. What happened to Pharaoh sends a clear message. It's a big mistake to say no to God. We say no to God all the time. And the sky doesn't fall down on us. So, does that mean we're getting away with disobeying God, with saying no to Him? Well, first, the fact that God is patient doesn't mean that He's giving us permission to disobey Him. Second, we have to realize when we say no to God, we are the ones that suffer. We miss the chance to honor God and find purpose in the amazing adventure of serving him. But one thing is true, regardless if we say yes to God or no to God, he's going to do what he's chosen to do. And that's something we have to keep in mind as we look at this story today. But before that, let me open us up in prayer. Dear God, thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity. I thank you that you loved us so much that you gave us the chance to have free will, to say yes and no to you. But I know you long for us to say yes and to follow you with our whole heart. I ask that my words today be able to lead us on that path and for me to say only what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want to follow along today, we're looking at the second book of the Bible. This one's named Exodus, and it comes from the Greek word exodus, meaning to go out. And just for a little context, a little history of what's going on, the Israelites, the people from Israel, the followers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they've been in Egypt for over 400 years. And at first they were guests there, but now as they expanded and grew and multiplied, the pharaohs, the leaders of the land, realized that they had become a force. And so they enslaved them all. And for hundreds of years they cried out to God, but they were never freed. But God, he had a plan and he was building up a deliverer. And his name was Moses. Now get this. Moses was 80 years old when he led Israel out of Egypt. 80 years. What that tells me is that serving God doesn't matter about how old we are. Sometimes it's said that the older you get, the more stubborn you are. But one principle in this is that that doesn't count to God. No stubbornness is allowed. He wants us to have soft hearts. That's kind of what we find out later on. So here's God's game plan in the Exodus story. First, he wants the Egyptians to know that he is God. Second, he wants the Israelites to know that he is God. And third, he wants Pharaoh to see his power and make his name known to the whole world. So this is what God's going to do. And as the story unfolds, we see this happen time and time again. That's why the plagues were done. That's why the Israelites had to suffer, but then finally find out that they were released and God is glorified. Well, we are going to talk about the hard heart of Pharaoh later. For right now, we have to look at the first request that Moses made to Pharaoh. And that's found in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh responded, who is the Lord that I should obey him by letting Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and besides, I'll not let Israel go. They answered, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go on a 3-day journey into the wilderness, so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, or else he may strike us with plague or sword. The king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why are you causing the people to neglect their work? Get to your labor. Pharaoh also said, look, the people of the land are so numerous, and you would stop them from their labor? Well, it seems like maybe Moses was deceiving Pharaoh in the first place. But actually, it wasn't that at all. I didn't realize, but the Israelites weren't allowed to worship God while they were in Israel, while other people groups there were. And to God, worshiping him was more important than freedom. So he was giving Pharaoh a chance to say yes to what God required. But Pharaoh's response basically said, and God gave him chance after chance after chance. But his response was clear that the only way that they were going to worship God was if he took them completely out of Egypt. The way that Moses and Aaron spoke for the Lord told those that were listening that this word, this message, was actually a command to Pharaoh, and it was from his superior. Well, the culture at this time knew that if a ruler demanded something and that the other person failed to comply with it, it would call for severe penalties. Now we run into one issue. Pharaoh, he believed that he was a descendant of the sun god Ra, that he was a god himself. He would bow to no one, and he was inferior to no one. In short, Pharaoh was informed by Moses and Aaron that he was merely a vassal ruling a second-rate nation and that he must answer to the Lord. You can see that that would probably tick him off, right? Well, here's a question. If you were told to do something and you didn't want to do it, how would you respond? Would you be like, okay, I'll do it? Or would you respond differently? I think that for most of the people that I know, they would fight fiercely to not allow the other person to get the benefit of winning and seeing them say, okay. That's exactly what human nature is, and this is what Pharaoh did. And the interesting thing is that God uses human nature. God uses when we say no to bring about his will anyway. Nothing stops him. Nothing surprises him. Well, here's the point, and I know we'll say it again. No matter if we say no or yes to God, nothing will stop him from doing his plans. You see, there's lots of verses like Isaiah 46, 9 through 11, or Ephesians 1, 11, or Philippians 2, 13 that show that God will accomplish what he chooses to do. Now we have a choice to either join him in his plans or go against him in his plans. Pharaoh, he became God's warning, while Moses, on the other hand, became God's witness. So now let's look at Pharaoh's hardness. If we look at this from our low perspective, our 6-foot perspective, we kind of see this as maybe Pharaoh didn't get a chance to say yes to God. Almost like fate had decided and there was no way of getting out of it. This view is called determinism. Basically, what's going to happen is going to happen, and I can't change it. Now, the problem, though, is that that is contrary to scripture. You see, from God's perspective, he knows what we're going to choose. He already knows that. He allows us to make our choices. That's called free will. And Genesis 2:19, 4:7, Ezekiel 18, 2 through 32 show this ability to make decisions as something that's inbred and bound into all humans. We can choose to obey God, or we can choose not to obey him. You see, God could have made it so that we had no choice, that we would say, yes, God, I love you, God, I love you, God. But that would be being robots. And God wanted us to choose him on our own. Like when a child comes up, like uncalled for, and gives a hug to her mom, says, I love you. That's more tender than the forced, I want a hug. You need to say, I love you. You see, so Pharaoh was given this free will as well. But we're all going to be judged. We all have done things that are contrary to what perfection is. God is perfect, he is holy, and he can't be with those things that are imperfect. And that's called sin. It's anything that we think or say or do that's contrary to God. And he's right to judge us for it. So he would have been right to completely wipe Pharaoh out immediately, to wipe the Egyptians out. But he didn't. He gave Pharaoh a chance to obey him. But like in Indiana Jones, it was a poor choice, or as it says, he chose poorly. Well, he probably had a lot of things going on in his mind, but something we just read actually tells what's going on in his heart. If you looked at verse 2 of chapter 5 again, who is this Lord that I should obey him? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You know, it's probably not that he didn't know about the Israelites' Lord, about the God that they served. Because for Egypt, they actually knew and revered Baal, who was around the same area where the Israelites were. But his statement more likely means a refusal to acknowledge Yahweh, I am the Lord, as the one worthy of his attention. Basically, he's saying the Lord is definitely not any God that I need to recognize or obey. I am God and you are not, is basically what he was saying. So here's another question for you. If you are a parent and your child chooses to say no to you and thumb their nose at you, how do you react? Does that child have a chance of having fun at least within the next 30 days? Well, you know, God didn't act like we would have. He allowed Pharaoh even more chances. He showed him more mercy and more grace, and yet Pharaoh stubbornly denied it. So in the book of Exodus, in this passage, there are three words for the word harden or hard in the Hebrew. The first means to strengthen a resolve. The second means heavy. And the last is harsh or hard. So they all have different nuances. I'd like to look at chapter 4, verse 21. The Lord instructed Moses, when you go back to Egypt, make sure you do before Pharaoh all the wonders that I've put within your power. But I will harden his heart so that he won't let the people go. And you will say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. Look, I'm about to kill your firstborn son. Well, this word in chapter 4, verse 21, harden, actually is the one that means to strengthen or resolve. Basically, God gave Pharaoh the resolve to follow through with what he had planned to do. If you have ever seen Star Wars Episode 7, you might recall a scene with Kylo Ren saying that he knew what he needed to do, but he couldn't do it without help. And Han Solo being the one to help strengthen his resolve. God doesn't force Pharaoh to act contrary to his own will. God will display his power over even a stubborn king in order for Egypt, Israel, and the world to see his power. Pharaoh, he was viewed as God. He thought he was God, and therefore no other God was going to stand before him. But that's not what the Creator God says. Well, we've all been given the ability to either have a soft heart or a hard heart, to either follow God or oppose Him. There's a phrase that says, the same sun that melts butter also hardens clay. So each time God brought about a plague before Pharaoh, brought about a suffering upon him, the more determined Pharaoh got in standing up to God, to dig his feet in, to not give in. So, Apologetic Study Bible says this: thus, it was both God's demands and Pharaoh's own pride motivated stubbornness that led to his hardened heart. You see, the second plague was the plague of frogs. And when God stopped the plague of frogs, he showed mercy to Pharaoh. But instead of surrendering to that mercy, even though he cried out for deliverance, Pharaoh hardened his heart again. So God sent a third plague and caused the dust of the ground to turn into gnats. And Pharaoh's court magicians this time couldn't replicate it, couldn't duplicate it. And what they said was, this is the finger of God. Even in the face of that, Pharaoh refused to submit to the Lord and only hardened his heart even more. So neither God's mercy by removing the frogs nor God's power caused him to repent and obey the word of the Lord. You see, this is a power struggle. And a lot of times I think when we have the choice to say yes or no to God, it's a power struggle. Is God ruling in our life, or are we still ruling in our life? Well, hardness or hard is used 20 times in this story. Half of those refer to Pharaoh's choosing, and the other half refer to divine causality. But there's something that changed. And in chapter 8, verse 15, we see a glimpse of this, but it's even deeper when we look at the Hebrew. But when Pharaoh saw there was relief, he hardened his heart, would not listen to them as the Lord had said. This word hardened is different. It means to make heavy. The Egyptians, they had a book that they revered. It's called the Book of the Dead. And IVP Bible Background Commentary says, in the judgment scene from the Book of the Dead, the heart of the deceased is weighed in the balance against a feather, representing Maat, which is truth and justice, to determine whether the individual will be ushered into an afterlife of happiness or be devoured. Increasing the weight of Pharaoh's heart is a way of expressing that his afterlife doom is being sealed. The expression most similarly to the English cliche, driving another nail into his coffin, it represents simply accelerating the inevitable. Interesting that God uses even their own thought processes to show what's happening. So, why does the author of Exodus use this back and forth technique in describing Pharaoh's heart? God called Pharaoh to humble himself and acknowledge that God is his authority and that he can't define good and evil on his own terms. But Pharaoh's response was to say no to God over and over again. The author seems to want us to see that even the most heinous and absurd forms of human evil are not a true threat to God's purposes, because he can steer this kind of evil toward his plan and towards his purposes. But the fact that God can steer evil doesn't mean that God actually engineered it. Pharaoh was responsible for his own evil, just as you and I are responsible, just as Joseph's brothers were responsible for their evil. However, there is no force of human evil that can resist God's purpose to bring salvation and blessing to the nations. So Pharaoh, he ended up becoming God's warning for us. Sometimes evil might look fun for a while. Saying no to God might feel liberating for a moment, but it's only for a moment. We're all going to end up being judged. Moses and the Israelites, on the other hand, were allowed to be God's witnesses. They chose to follow God, and even though just initially, right? By the time that they were rescued, they were safe on the other side of the Red Sea, and Israel saw the great power of God used against the Egyptians, and they feared the Lord. They worshiped the Lord and believed in him and his servant Moses. You see, because Moses followed God, God blessed him, and God gave him the ability to lead his people. And his faith and his willingness to follow God is the reason that we remember Moses to this day, 3,000 plus years later. When a person says yes to God, God honors that person, and they become a witness to his goodness, and they're used by him to bless others. So you and I, we have choices. Just like Pharaoh and Moses, we can continue in our evil and our sin and just keep getting worse. Eventually, we cement ourselves into a path that leads to no return. Or we can choose to say, "No, God, your will be done. I'll follow you, I'll serve you, and I'll be your witness." You see, God wants the best for us, and he wanted the best for Egypt. He wanted the best for Pharaoh, but Pharaoh didn't choose God. But God didn't give up on the Egyptians. Have you ever heard of the word Coptic Christians, or maybe Alexandrian text? Well, both of those come from Egypt, but the Coptic Christians are actually one of the first Jesus followers outside of Israel after Jesus went back to heaven. Egypt and Jesus followers. You see, I think that God's power was known to them because of the Exodus, and now Christ's power was shown through them to those around them. What Satan and Pharaoh meant for evil, God meant for good. So either you will be God's witness or God's warning. Which one do you choose?